kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Teaching, and the title is Don't Let Your Trials Hinder Your Love for God. Don't let your trials hinder your love for God. And I'm going to base this today from James chapter 1 verse 12. Know this very well, we quote it often, and yet I believe the Spirit will not let us move away from it because it's so applicable for today. Don't let your trials hinder your love for God. And verse 12 of chapter 1 of James says, blessed is the man who endures temptations or trials, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that is the key. This walk of faith and overcoming will never, ever happen unless the love of God is motivating every jot and tittle of this. And not only the love of God, but our love for him also. It is the root, it is the basis. And at times, you know, we can get so caught up, can't we, in this walk and in the trials that we go to, that we forget these very simple basics, the foundations of this whole walk. And it is the love of God. And James is very clear. He says, blessed is the man who endures the trials, the temptations, the testings. For when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life. So what does it mean by that when we are approved? It means that we come to that standard of perfection in this life that God sees. It's not a sinless perfection, but it is a standard of perfection of faith and love that God will see, that will be acceptable and be brought in as the first fruits presented on the altar of God. God has got a harvest. It is there. The harvest is there. We are told in the scriptures it is. It says that the laborers are few. Pray for the laborers. Pray for their faithfulness, their endurance, the anointing upon them, the unction of the Spirit. Why? Because there is the first fruits to be reaped from the harvest. That has to come in first. That is an Old Testament principle and law. That was part of the offering that Israel offered up to God. It was their offering. In actual fact, it wasn't 10%, it was actually 25%. Not only was it, of course, money that was offered, but it was also produce and what was to come in from the harvest. Now, this was very important to God, the first fruits, because it reveals what is to come. They've ripened first. They brought in that which ripened before the rest of the harvest. And the overcomers will be the ones who will ripen first. How do they ripe? They ripe because a field ripens first by its weather conditions, by how much sun. And if you are a gardener, one thing you know about gardening, you can plant the seed out, but you will always find that there are a few that come to fruition first. And it's always a mystery to gardeners. They don't really know or understand, but it happens. It's the same if you do general gardening. You can put plants out, and you find that there are a few who grow taller and are more lush and produce more flowers or whatever it is. Why is that? I do not know, but God knows. And it is the same in the harvest of the believers. And this is why God is working now with the overcomers, the first fruits, Rome, Revelation 12, the man-child, because it is soon to be brought in and presented on the altar. Now, some have that revelation and understanding of this, and there are others who don't. And why is it you have an understanding of this? You're quickened by this because this is what God is doing with you. It makes sense. It answers a lot that is happening in my life. And this is what God does. This is how he speaks to us. God speaks to us according to our circumstances. What he's doing with us, how he's dealing with us. We heard it in prophecy today. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, don't let your trials hinder your love for God. Because God has not got it wrong. You see, many times we think God designs our trials to see if we will be faithful. And much of our trials are the result of a fallen world that we live in. It is part of the world. The world out there goes through trials, do they not? You hear all about it. You hear it in the news. You hear it in your family and everything. Oh, this happened to me or whatever it is. It's part of a fallen world. Now, your governments won't tell you that, but that's what it is. Much of what we hear in the news is the result of what sin has done. It is the result of man wanting to live independently of God. And the Lord says, you can do nothing without me. But does man learn? Why, even we struggle with that in the house of God. So the world doesn't have a chance unless God touches their lives. And praise God, he's touched our lives, has he not? For that very purpose. We know very, very well, but we'll just in passing remind ourselves in Acts 14 and verse 22, in Acts 14 and verse 20, actually we'll take it from verse 21. And here is where they are strengthening the converts. They are encouraging them because persecution is happening. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So really, you know, there's nothing new with what God does, is there? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that is what this preacher today is doing. Because that is what the Bible tells me to do. Exhorting, encouraging, that what you're going through, God knows. God is allowing it for a reason, to strengthen you, for you to stand by faith in these last days. The teaching, the message doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. And they want all these new revelations and experiences today, and they are a prime target to the powers of darkness, but it doesn't change. And thank God that it doesn't. You see, if we desire to live a godly life, a life as an overcomer, we are going to meet these trials. Now, I know there's nothing new about that. I've been preaching this one for years. But what does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. So we're not to think it strange. Your godly life, your consecrated life, causes problems. It exposes darkness. You at times can be a hindrance to the powers of darkness. But that is the nature of what God is doing through us. And this is why we preach and teach the gospel, because the gospel, as it goes forth to the four corners of the earth, exposes the powers of darkness. And this, of course, is why the enemy is trying to destroy Christianity. He's trying to destroy the gospel. He's trying, above all, to destroy the unction of the Spirit, the very Spirit himself of God, who appoints the ministries, who makes himself head over his body. He's out to attack all of this. And are we, of course, we're not seeing this now. We're seeing pagan worship coming back, are we not? Being disguised now, using technology and sophistication. Do you know something? The Lord quickened something to me today. And I don't get this very often, but I was reminded, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago in the opening of the Commonwealth Games. If you remember what was brought into the arena, this bull, this huge bull. And what did they do in that ceremony? They fell down and they worshipped it. And I thought, now, what does the bull signify in ancient religion? Baal, Baalism. And we're beginning to see Baalism coming forth now, as we're seeing the beast system being established. That's what you are seeing through the new world, the new reset that is introducing now. The beast system, which is getting ready for the Antichrist to rule over it. And we are seeing the forerunners preparing the way. We are seeing the false prophet speaking out now. And we're going to see the false prophet, which could well be this Pope. He's very much in favour of all of this. What are we beginning to hear now through trying to clean up the world, trying to sanitize it, as they say, through the eco-environment, the green lobbying and everything that goes on, and that they're worried about the planet and the climate and everything that is going on, which is a huge lie and deception. But what animal comes that they're attacking?
Cattle.
The cattle, yeah. The cow, the bull. Now, why are they trying to get rid of that? It's because they want to establish Baalism, the bull. The bull is the one that they use in which to breed. You can also have in the cows, you can have the heifers, you can have the others. They are castrated ones, and therefore the meat chain. And of course, they are telling us the reason that they want us now to eat meat that is produced from the labs. And they're now trying to get us to eat these bugs as well. And so on. That's the latest thing now. They've just produced the first cake that is made out of bugs, and it just is vile. But why is this all going on? because it is the powers of darkness bringing back Baalism. The bull will be the image, and it's attacking for that very purpose. Now, of course, we know in India, the cow is sacred, so it's always been there. What is the other thing that is under attack? The woman. The woman is under attack. Your sex, you as a woman, you are under attack. And what is this? It is the assault on the seed of the woman. Right back there in Genesis. Why was the powers of darkness attacking the seed of the woman? Because it knew it would bring the patriarchs, it would bring Israel as a nation, it would bring Messiah, and it would bring forth the church, God's spiritual seed. And we had to go through conception, through our mother and father, for us to be here today. That is how God has purposed life. Go forth and multiply, God says. And here we are seeing the attacks now in these main areas. Nothing new. And it's all rising now in these last days. And where is it coming forth? It's coming forth through the Masonic, the Luciferian, the World Council, World Government, G7 and everything. They all are involved in witchcraft. We are seeing witchcraft like we have never seen before, rising up now in these last days. No wonder God speaks to us like he does. No wonder he is protecting us, preserving us, speaking to us, showing us that there's nothing new in all of this. What is new, of course, is that this is being merged through technology. And as I've said to you for many years now, technology is going to merge with the woman, the seed. That's Satan's aim, to humanize. And this is why they want to change us. This is why they're trying to do it through vaccines. They're going to do it through these plugging these things into man's brain and so on. What they've got, what they're developing is utterly mind-boggling. I listen to some of this stuff. I mean, it's very technical and so on, but what they're wanting to achieve is frightening. And this is why God is going to cut it short. And he is going to come and he's going to put it all down. Why? Because it's going to be brought under his feet. The enemy will be brought under his feet. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the God of the universe. And he is not going to have his creation marred in his presence that he has ordained.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for the way he speaks to us. For the way he's opening our eyes. I know it's a challenge at times. I know there are times when I just think, I want to switch off. I've had enough of it. I can't handle this any longer. And God knows how much we can take. And he's not going to allow any of this to take our eyes away off him. Because I can also tell you, if you have too much of this, it can start to take your eyes off the Lord.
Yeah.
I know, trust me. So we have to keep our eyes on God, and God is going to tell us what we need to know, and we need to trust him in this. He's preserving and keeping, and we speak out on it as the Lord leads and so on. But God is in control, and I believe, as we heard in prophecy, he's raised a standard against the enemy.
Amen.
And you need that standard. And thank God for that. I want to tell you something. The Lord led me into warfare the other day. He got me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And of course, my flesh was crying out. That's the last thing you want to do. You know, you haven't been sleeping all that well. At 4 o'clock in the morning, Oh, Lord, I could do it 6 o'clock, but not four. And it, you know that nag, it just goes on as if, all right, I'll do it. I'm getting up. Okay, you know. And thank God that I obeyed him. I did this. And he started to lead me into warfare. And it wasn't very long when it's like he opened my eyes. I don't know how he does this. It's just spiritual. And I became aware of the myriads of angels he has at his disposal. And he showed, as you are praying this, all what you are seeing is going forth into battle, into warfare. And it's exactly what God shows us. What I began to see them do is they line up against the demonic forces, and when they're all lined up, completely in total agreement in the position that God has ordained them, they start to march forward. They step. They were very clear, firm, positive steps. And as they were moving toward the demonic army, they were retracting, going back. And I said, and then I thought, thank you, Father. This is what you've been showing us over the years, that as we get in warfare, we are pushing this back. And he showed me in the spirit, this is what happens, is happening. And I could not count the amount of angels that he had at his disposal. I couldn't see. The line at the end just disappeared. Far more than the demonic force of Satan. And I thought, Lord, forgive me that I doubt you at times. Now, had I not obeyed God on that 4 o'clock in the morning, I would not have had that blessing, and I would not have been able to relate this to you, to encourage you. And it's not just me, he does this. He does this with you as well, because I know you share these things with me. So we stay in there, don't we? Because God is faithful. And don't let these trials and tribulations hinder your love for God. If anything, let it wax stronger and bolder. Because you know as well as I do, when we come out of these trials and these testings, we have an experience of God that we didn't have before we went through it. Every time, there is something you learn more from God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But life encounters many trials and tribulations. It's part of life. To live life in general is a challenge. I don't know whether you find this. I mean, an overcomer, yes. But to live life is a challenge every day. The things that we just go through. The various things. You know, there are times when, you know, you're just running late. It seems time isn't on your side. Or if you've got an appointment and you get held up in a traffic jam and so on. You know, you can feel your stress levels rising, can't you? Because I don't know about you, I hate being late. I'm probably from the old school, you know, time is time. And it seems difficult these days to be able to always keep that, you know? Or you go and put the key in the car and start it and it doesn't start, you know? Or the battery's gone flat or something like that. Oh, praise God, you know. And these things just happen, don't they? The other day I went to go and do shopping. And I was just about to get in, out the car, and I put my hand in the pocket. And guess what? I forgot my wallet.
Oh, gosh.
I thought, praise God, you know. And the Lord said, well, you've got your phone. I thought, praise God, I have. I always keep a bit of money in the wallet, in the phone, just in case. So I just got the basics, you know. So the Lord was faithful. The Lord always provides in a situation. There is something there that he will provide, you know, or bring it to your attention. You know, I don't know about you, but it's those little things that really bless me with God. Really do. That he's just always there in front, and I was able just to buy the basics and go back and so on, you know? And you just find these things happen. And if any of you are you've got your house, you're an owner of a house. Well, in the natural, there's always something. There's always something needs doing. Or your hand is always in the pocket. You've got to buy this, or this needs renewing, or whatever it is. This is part of a fallen world. Mm-hmm. It's what sin has done, you see. But God is on the throne. And don't let all of these trials and tests hinder your love for God. God loves us. He's gone before. He knows. I find actually many times now I just start laughing. I actually see the funny side of it, you know? And whereas a few years ago, oh, not again, you know? And then the enemy suggests to you, doesn't he? Well, you've got to go through three times of this. You know, that old superstition, you know? Oh, it comes in threes. Huh? Get thee behind me, Satan. I know how he tries to work. Hallelujah. And then there are the greater trials, aren't they? Where the loss of a loved one. And that's a difficult one. I'm not going to say that that's easy at all. Those who are so close to you and everything, you feel like a part of you's died with them. But, you know, the hope is that if they're in Christ, you will see them in glory. We will be united and so on. But they are, aren't they, the harder trials and the physical ones that we go through. Or you get, you know, you find your son or daughter, you found out they're on drugs or whatever it is. It can break the heart of parents. Because what it does, they search, well, where have I gone wrong for this to happen, you know? It's not easy. These are the real greater trials of our faith. And of course, our faith in God, where we're just persecuted for righteousness' sake, you know, or you find at work they want to get rid of you. They don't want you there because, you know, you're a Christian. You stick out. You don't go along with their jesting like they do and so on. These are all the greater trials that we can go through. But praise God, God loves us. Nothing changes and so on. You see, trials will test our love for God. Love and trust in him will only enable us to be faithful. You will never be faithful in any other way unless it is love that is the source and it is the motivation. We won't be faithful otherwise. I can tell you that now, or I won't. It is the love of God that causes me to be faithful. It is the motivating force. Everything else works from God's love, including our faith. And we make much of it in this body. Our love for the Lord will cause our faith to believe and will bring us through every trial and tribulation. The Apostle Paul was able to go through what he went through because it was the love of God that had touched him, that had saved him, a wretched sinner and murderer that I was, because that's what the Apostle was. Most of us have never committed the sins that the Apostle Paul did, and others. So it's always that love that motivates in every trial. Let's just look at some scriptures to confirm all that I'm saying. We know this very well, don't we? In Psalm 91, our assurance policy. Hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 14, what does it say? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. Why is all of that? Because he has set his love upon me. God has set his love upon us, and we've set our love upon him. That is the motive. It cannot be anything else. That's what drives all of this. And we're going to be tested at times in our love for him. What does it say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. That's why. Wasn't in me, but he loved me. And that love is so great, is so powerful, that now I'm able to love him as well. You cannot love God unless God loved us first. It's not in us. That's what sin has done. But because we have been touched by that mighty love, I'm able now to love him. That is what motivates my war. That is why I believe. That is why I endure. That is why I'm here today at this meeting, because of this divine principle. And love has to be experienced. And where do you experience it most? In the trials that you are going through. That is where God's love will be experienced. The trials that I go through will cause me to experience his love, that I can also share and love others. If you see a saint who has a great love for God, a love for the body of Christ, and a love for his brothers and sisters, you can be well assured that that has cost that person. And what does it cost them? Their trials. They've experienced that. And so they can give that out to the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful that you're experiencing trials and tribulations? You can share that and touch lives. Brothers and sisters, you can touch lives. Did you know that you give life to your brothers and sisters? Through Christ, you minister life as well. This is why the body is so important. This is why our coming together is so important, because we minister that life that we have experienced with God. That's why we forgive. That's why we let it go. That's why we are long-suffering with each other, with our weaknesses, what we go through. We take on the burden of prayer or intercession. We pray one for another. This is what it's all about. This is what causes us to experience God in those profound ways. This is how the early church functioned. This is why we're being restored back again to these experiences that we have with God and each other, and so on. But love has to be experienced, and the trials are the way in which you experience this. And this is why it's faith, because our love from him is not simply based on experience, by feelings, in emotions or whatever, but my faith, it has come experientially because of the trials that I've gone through. I know God is faithful. Amen. My life is an example of it. That's why it's powerful. And that's why the devil tries to destroy us, because he doesn't want us to be that example. It exposes him, because the devil can't do that. Only God can do that for us. You see, the trials that the world goes through, the devil, what does he suggest? well, you're not going to get come out of this. Or that illness you've got, you know that's going to kill you, don't you? And everything. So what does the world do? They run to the arm of the flesh. Only more bondage. Why is it that God is so firm with us with regard to healing? Do you know why? In his foresight, he is seeing what is happening to the health systems around the world. Do you know what is happening to them? They are going under the world health system. Do you know that not only is the new world a robber and a thief, but the new world fights against democracies, fights against autonomy, which is divinely given of God. Each country should sovereignly rule itself. That is how God has decreed it. And that is a violation. It's breaking all of that. And it's saying the new world order will govern you, which is occult. And we are seeing now the world health system, which is the next on the agenda, is now going to go under this World Health Organization, where you will be answerable. So they will decree anything and governments won't be able to have a say. Why won't they have a say? Because we know from the book of Revelation, governments will give over the authority and power to the Antichrist. And that will include healing. It will include the world health. And that's why they will find they won't be able to have medical help unless they take the mark of the beast. God's delivering you and I from this, brothers and sisters. Now, I know Rome wasn't built in a day. I know this is the controversial one. I'm very aware of it. I've seen how the devil's worked on this over the years. But this is our deliverance. And he is bringing us through. He's made no mistake. I know some of us were going through physical trials. In the natural, we need to go to a doctor or a nurse, or we need to go to hospital. I'm aware of that. And God, above all, is aware of that. But he has not made a mistake, because he's delivering us from what is happening. And we're seeing it. We see it. Because if the enemy can control the health system, he's pretty well got human beings. Because look how the world now is so reliant on pills and drugs. You name it. You go to a doctor's and what do they prescribe? Pills, drugs. Because they can't spend time with you. They haven't got long enough to find out what's really going on. And we're hearing now, of course, that many try to get an appointment and it's getting harder and harder to see a doctor. These are all the signs. They're deliberately engineering all of this. None of this is coincidental. It is planned. So, even though we're going through trials, we may be going through physical trials. I am going through a physical trial at the moment. But I desire to trust God. And it's my heart's desire. And I know he's not going to let this go above that which I'm able to endure. And so on. They're just a things in the natural that happen as you get older. It's what the fall has done. Now, this is where we hold on. The Lord renews my youth like the eagles. I read Psalm 91. I want to hear that. I need to hear that because I'm aware what's taking place in my body. It's getting older. And that's what happens. I wish God would just wave a magic wand, but it doesn't work that way. These are the trials of our faith. And this is where we meet God in all of this. And he preserves and he keeps us, you see. There are times that, you know, you go on and you think, well, I don't know how I got through that week. You know, it was really hard. It was difficult. Mm-hmm. But here I am. God's brought me through. Because he is faithful. Mm-hmm. And the faith that worketh by love is the key to all of this. Because faith is delivering us from our senses, from our feelings, from our emotions, from what we see or think or whatever. This is what faith is doing. It so causes us to be thrown on the promises of God's word. That's the power of faith. And that's why we stay with it. And somebody just said to me the other day, who is preaching faith today in churches? Where is it? Now, I'm not saying we're the only ones, please. But it is jolly hard to find. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Mm-hmm. A faith that is delivering, I'm on about. Mm-hmm. But unless God's love is central in all of this, this ain't going to work. Trust me. And God's love has to be experienced. And that's why we are the overcomers. And as I close in this, we are in the school of trial and test. And we're soon to graduate. And when we graduate, what will it be? Come up. The rapture. Hallelujah. We're soon for graduation. Not going to be long. You know. We've taken the exams. We've been spiritually in the exam room. We looked at these papers and you think, gosh, have I learned anything? I remember sometimes when I took my ONA levels, you know, some of those papers, if you can remember, when you open them up, you looked at them. For a while, it was like a shock took over. You think, I didn't learn this. This wasn't in the mock exam that I took and so forth. And you feel that panic, you feel that sick feeling, don't you? I can't be the only one that went through that. And I used to look around and there were others, you know, eyebrows going up and thinking, oh my word. And then suddenly you sort of looked at it again. And you absorbed it and you got over the emotions and then it starts to come to the fore, doesn't it? All the foundation, all the preparation, everything that you studied and everything. Ah, yes, now I see something here and so on. Exactly the same. It's in those trials and tests that everything starts to come together. The teaching that we've heard over the years, what God has been building within us, suddenly it's in those trials. Wow, I begin to see it now. Yes, it is happening. Yes, I remember. I remember God said that 10 years ago and so on. It's amazing how God does it, isn't it? You see? It's a school of trial, but graduation is coming very soon. And the next thing is we will be caught up for the marriage of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today and forever, and nothing changes. And you are in complete control and you hold the reins of our life. Lord, may we go forth from this teaching, bearing the fruit of it and living it and experiencing it. And so I pray you'll bless, preserve, keep each one of us. Be with us when we go out and when we come in. Give your travelling mercies over us. And may always the joy of the Lord be our strength. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Battle belongs to the Lord. Take the Lord. weapon and passion against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. We'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He'll raise up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength.
Sing the first verse in heavenly armor.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. Weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the powers of darkness come in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He'll raise us a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Let courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we'll sing glory and honor.
Power and strength belongs to the Lord. And walk in that, brothers and sisters, and glorify the Lord. Well, bless you all. Thank you for your time, your fellowship, and we will be back in the room.
Let him in constancy fall.